This podcast is a service of South Canyon Baptist Church in Rapid City, South Dakota. For more information about our church, visit southcanyonbaptist.org.
Hello, friends. Pastor Brent and Pastor Josh are here, and we want to continue our conversation on the Discovery class. What we've been doing is working through each of the classes and just doing a short podcast where we essentially cut the content probably in half or so and give you sort of a summary of what we cover in those Discovery classes. It's so important. It's just, I would credit the Discovery class as being one of the most significant things we've done in the last couple years in terms of seeing the unity and the joy and the effectiveness of our church grow in these last few years. I would say largely because we've been very careful on who we have come into the congregation, who we have come into membership, and they're coming in well and they're coming in with joy, and so we're able to unite and fit together really well right out of the gate. So that's why we thought maybe this podcast would be helpful. So we're in session three now, which is about gospel discipleship. We've talked about what membership is and why it's biblical, what the gospel is and how it's far greater than we could ever imagine, and now we're going to talk about gospel discipleship. Now that one has embraced the gospel, what do we do? You know, because we're not taken to heaven immediately, what does that mean? And we're not immediately just made holy in every single aspect. So what does it mean that we are disciples? So Brent, why don't you unpack that for us?
Yeah, I think first, I think of the Great Commission where Jesus says, go and make, go therefore into all nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things I've commanded you, and I'm with you always till the end of the age. I think about that commission as containing really one command and then three participles that are a part of what that command means, that take on the nature of that command, but they're really a part of the command to make disciples. So our church is called to make disciples, which means Jesus says first go. That's the first participle that's connected to making disciples. And there what he's talking about is going to those, and as we are going, speaking to those who are not yet followers of Jesus Christ and seeking through sharing the gospel with them and showing them the gospel reflected in our lives as we share the gospel with them, we can be instrumental in helping those who are not disciples of Christ become disciples of Christ. So our church's purpose statement begins that we exist to make more disciples. That's based on Jesus saying, go and make disciples. There he's talking about doing that. Then he says, baptize them, which is what you do when a person has become a new disciple, has trusted in Christ. You baptize them as a public profession of their faith and as a public witness to the fact that they have become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then the second part of disciple making kicks in. The first part is making more disciples, sharing with those who aren't believers to lead them to become disciples. And then once a person becomes a disciple, the goal is to help them become better disciples. And that's teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. So you begin to teach those who have been baptized and who have confessed Christ and believed in Christ. You teach them what Christ has commanded so that their life can more and more conform to the commandments of Christ and to Christ himself and be conformed to his image more and more. So those are the two sides, I guess you'd say, of discipleship. And as believers, we're all to be engaged in this process. We're to be seeking to lead those who don't know Christ to know Christ, to make more disciples, going, and then the desire would be that they would be baptized. And then we want to be involved in discipling those who are believers and helping them grow in their faith, helping them know Christ more deeply and to be more and more obedient to him and live a life that glorifies him. So that's the big picture of discipleship and what we encourage and desire for all of our members to be engaged in. And we'll probably do, we've talked about doing another podcast just on what it means for a church to be a discipling church or to have a discipleship culture. And we'll probably come back to this in that. But that's the big picture that we want everyone who comes into our church to understand. This is our calling together. This is our calling. All of us have a role, have gifts, have ways that we can be involved in disciple making.
That's right. Yep. And even in Matthew 28:18, even just the verse before that you quoted, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, which means basically it's him saying, I'm the boss. I'm king. And I'm not giving you some advice, I'm giving you a command. Mm-hmm. And he's giving it to all believers. Mm-hmm. Go, therefore, because I'm king. And if you're a Christian, you're submitted to my kingship. You have relinquished, if you've come to faith in Christ, you have relinquished the authority of your life. You are submitted entirely to the authority of Jesus. And so making disciples is part of being a Christian. Go, therefore, and make disciples. And really what we're doing when we're making disciples is we are taking the good news, we are speaking the good news to them, and inviting them to become a disciple, to abandon their sin, to abandon their own righteousness, and to embrace Jesus Christ and to follow him. Once they've done that, they're marked by a few things. We're to mark them off by baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a part of discipleship, a non-negotiable part. Not that baptism is required to get into heaven, but baptism is required, I think, as a marking off of the believer, because it's a command of King Jesus. He has said, this is how you make disciples, is that once you've extended the invitation and they have come by repentance and faith, been reborn, then demonstrate that reborn by baptizing them, mm-hmm. and then teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and observe or obey. Mm-hmm. So discipleship is marked by, once you've received that invitation to Jesus Christ, once you have embraced him and you've been reborn and you're now you now follow him, and it's marked by baptism, identification with Jesus and his church. It's marked by learning, teaching and learning, and it's marked by obedience. I mean, I think you've got a great summary, really, of all of discipleship and really the whole New Testament. The rest of the New Testament just lays out what that means then for us to learn and obey, you know, to be baptized, to learn and obey, to be identified, to learn, and to become more and more joyfully conformed in obedience to Jesus. So, when I go through the class, we take a little bit different angles on the class, but say the same thing. I like to go through this and then just talk about discipleship in terms of the why, what, how, who, and where. And we'll summarize this a little bit, but we like to start with why make disciples, and we've talked about that already, because King Jesus tells us to. And no one gets to heaven apart from embracing the gospel and then beginning to follow Jesus. Colossians 1 says that Christ, that God is transferring us out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And then we see throughout Scripture that eventually we will be a people gathered around the throne of Christ, glorifying Christ. God has redeemed a people for himself, for his Son. So that's really the why, is it's the glory of Christ. It's obedience to Christ, that he is redeeming a people. We get to be part of that people, and we get to be part of how God brings in and grows other people. He could do this totally around us. He could just skywrite it. He could just beam it down in lightning bolts. But he chooses to work through us, and we get the joy of extending the gospel and helping one another grow to be more like him. Mm-hmm. So we are on a journey. God has promised that he's taking his people on a journey out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, and we're to help each other get there. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the why there, is because it's God's goal for the whole world. That's where he's taking history, is to take his people for the sake of his Son, to glorify him forever. So what is a disciple? Luke 6:40 tells us that a disciple is a learner. A student is not above their master, and so it is a learner. Another word for disciple is apprentice, mm-hmm. someone who is following behind, who is learning the way. A couple of powerful symbols are baptism, where the believer is initiated into it. So in baptism, you have the picture of death, burial, and resurrection. That's why we baptize by immersion. That's why we baptize after someone has come to faith in Christ. We don't baptize babies, and we don't baptize someone unless they give a believable, credible profession of having really been born again, because the picture doesn't make sense. So it's saying, you know, Christ died and was buried and rose again. That's kind of the putting down in the water and bringing back up. I am identifying my whole life with that. That is what I needed to be saved. And the old me has died, and the new me now lives. I'm now a disciple. I'm now under the authority of King Jesus. I'm now under his lordship. I have a new life in him, and I've identified with that. It's putting on the team jersey, I've heard people say. Like, you know, I need to be identified with a team and put on the team jersey so that people know that I am a disciple. And then the yoke in Matthew 11, Jesus says that we take on his yoke as disciples. And a yoke is really a submission of authority. You know, a farmer would put, it's farming language, is that you would put a yoke on an oxen. And then what you could do is you could both control the ox in the direction it ought to go and make it productive. And that's really what Christ does for us, is he takes these broken, dead sinners and he redeems them, gives them life, but then he takes mastery over their lives and then makes them productive for his kingdom. And so that idea of yoke, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, which sounds strange to us. But it's like he is gentle and kind, and he will make us productive for his kingdom.
His teaching is the yoke, and we obey, we submit.
That's right.
To
we
his
submit.
Teaching.
Yep. So once the ox is under the yoke, he is no longer gets to go where he wants to go. Mm-hmm. And it's the yoke that then, under the direction of the master, makes him productive. All this energy and strength is then directed and made productive, and that's what God gives us spiritual gifts. God gives us, redeems our experiences and our hurts even, and he makes them productive. He works them all for good, and that's part of the promise. And so that's glorious. A disciple is a forgiven sinner who is being transformed by learning Christ in repentance and faith, and learning to obey him, as it said in Matthew 28. So how are disciples made? And obviously they're given the invitation of the gospel. They're given the message of Jesus. They're called to repentance and faith. And the moment they do, they had become a disciple. You talk often that we're discipling them before. There's pre-conversion discipleship and post-conversion discipleship. Tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah, I think it's based on the Great Commission. The one command is to make disciples, which includes the going and helping people who aren't disciples to become disciples. So that's discipleship. I call it pre-baptism discipleship, just because of the three participles in the Great Commission. There's going, that's making more disciples. Then baptizing is the marker in the middle, so to speak, between the two phases of discipleship. And then there's post-baptism discipleship, is where you teach them to obey what I've commanded you. You help them grow. Yeah. You teach them the yoke, you know, the teaching of Jesus, and help them to obey and follow, you know, his leading as the one who's behind the yoke.
Right. Yep. So the process we see there is that, people are taught, discipled, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Then they trust in Christ, and then they're...
Continue to be taught.
They continue to be taught, right? Like, it's the call of... It's not repentance and faith until you become a Christian, and then you move on to something else. It's still repentance and faith. That's what Martin Luther said in his first thesis, is all of life is repentance. Mm-hmm. It's just now we have this power of God, and we actually begin to make, you know, progress and become more like Jesus. We're made through teaching. We submit to Christ's yoke. We're initiated by baptism. We submit to his yoke through teaching, and we're becoming obedient to all he's commanded. We do that by preaching Christ in all of Scripture. So the gospel is the power for discipleship. We don't. It doesn't just get us in. It's also the engine. It's the engine by which we're empowered. So we continue to return to the gospel over and over again, and continue to work its... What does the gospel mean for my parenting? What does the gospel mean for my work? What does the gospel mean for my finances? What does the gospel mean for my my time? And so we're beginning to work out what those mean. Now that I've submitted to Jesus, now that I've received his grace, what does it mean for me to walk those out? So we don't leave the gospel. We just see the gospel flow out in all the different areas of our heart and our lives. And then perseverance through suffering is that Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. And the mark of a disciple is perseverance. They don't quit. They keep going. God's grace is a preserving grace. And we see that. We'll see that a lot in our series in Acts, is that the people actually celebrate being able to suffer for the name, which is remarkable. Yep. One of the marks of the disciple is they continue to follow. So disciples are made by the persevering proclamation of the word of God, by the people of God, in prayerful dependence on the Spirit of God. And I love this. A lot of this comes from the Vine Project book. But he says, okay, so how are disciples made? Proclamation of God's word, prayerful dependence on the Spirit of God. People are God's fellow workers in each other's lives, and we're persevering step by step. Those four P's, I think, are helpful. So we make disciples by God's word. We must speak God's word. We must read God's word. We must pray God's word. We must sing God's word. God's word is essential to being a disciple. Prayer, independence on the Spirit of God is essential. We pray for each other. We pray with each other. We pray for ourselves. So prayer is absolutely essential to growing in Christ. People are God's fellow workers. We need people in our lives to really, in a sense, do God's word, preach God's word, and pray with us. But we won't grow in Christ completely in isolation. It's just impossible. And then we just keep putting one step in front of the other, persevering. So I think that's helpful. Who makes disciples? Every believer makes disciples. We've talked about that already. But according to Ephesians 4, pastors are the equippers and believers are the disciplers. Now that, because pastors are believers, they also disciple, but I think there's a mistake sometimes that we hire pastors to do the ministry. We hire pastors to do the discipling, and that's not true. Pastors right. are to gather the tools and the instruction and give that to the people and put it in their hands. So as a youth pastor, it is not my responsibility to disciple your students as a pastor. Parents, that's your responsibility to preach the gospel to them and to help them grow once they've trusted in Him. Discipleship is for every believer, and particularly if you've got people living in your house, you're the frontline responsibility for their discipleship. And as a pastor, I'm to equip you. I will disciple them because I'm a believer, but ultimately, primarily, it is, so you cannot outsource discipleship. No believer can outsource it. And we evangelize, we engage people in the hopes of building a relationship so we can share the gospel. That's pre-disciple evangelism, or pre-baptism discipleship. We engage people with the hope of leading them to Christ. That's a form of discipleship. We evangelize them. We actually share the message of Jesus with them. When they come to believe, then we establish them in the truths of the gospel. And then ultimately, we're hoping people get to the point where they're discipling others themselves. They're equipped. So engage, evangelize. Then once they become disciples, we establish and equip them. So, and then where we make disciples, this is the where. The Sunday gathering reigns supreme. That's why Hebrews 10:25 says we should not forsake meeting together, because our discipleship will be hindered and our discipling will be hindered. So the Sunday gathering reigns supreme. Acts 2:46 tells us that Christians have always met in homes. So our dinner table is a place of discipleship where we help each other grow. So we should have hospitality. Acts 1:8 tells us that we're to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the other parts of the earth. So Jerusalem, that would be kind of your own people. Judea would be people that I think that are kind of like you, but more rural, you know, just as you think through the specifics of that. Samaria is the people that are uncomfortable for you, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So both the people we run to often and we're comfortable with, but also the people we're uncomfortable with, we have a responsibility to do both. We can't just, it's not just the people we like or the people that we're around, but also the people that we're not like and are hard for us, our responsibility. And then ultimately all nations, we're to make disciples of all nations. So bottom line, learning Christ takes place in every facet and activity of the transformative learning community called churches. That's what the Vine Project calls them. And through our churches, it also happens in every corner of this present darkness. So pretty comprehensive summary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, discipleship, helping one another grow in Christ.
Amen. And I think of one more thing that I've thought of, teach them to obey. I think that doesn't just mean teach them to know.
Right.
That's assumed you have to know to obey, but the goal is obedience. And so I think that involves not just teaching it, I think it also means modeling it. That,
oh, sure.
You know, if you, and because you said apprentice earlier, that's what disciple means. An apprentice, like if your dad who's a plumber has an apprentice, he's actually showing the guy what he's not only just telling him what to do, he's showing him. And that's what we're supposed to do too, to make disciples, to make better disciples, as we lead by example. We're not perfect, but we, you know, as we have grown and as we are growing, we hope that our life is more and more exemplifying what it means to follow Christ. And so that's a part of the discipling process too, just modeling as well as teaching.
Yep. In churches, we have a tendency to, I think, separate. I'm kind of a practical doer person, not theology. I don't care about theology or doctrine or teaching as much. I'm a doer. I want to get to it. Or there's others who tend to think discipleship is primarily about just knowing stuff, but they don't actually ever do anything. And it's wrong to separate those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so disciples are learning deep and fundamental and practical truths from God's Word. They're growing. They love learning about God. They love wrestling with what God's Word says. But they don't stop there. It transforms them in such a way that they also have a high priority on living out those things well, and loving people and showing compassion. And you know, Jesus was both. Jesus both taught and healed. He both he did both. He was both knowledge and deeds, and his disciples, those who follow him, will both grow in knowledge and grow in obedience. So they go together. All right. Thanks for taking this time to hang out with us. I hope this is helpful, and we hope that you have a great day.
This podcast has been a service of South Canyon Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this production has been an encouragement to you. May God bless you.